up, everybody? Happy Sunday. We are back. Dom, Vid, and your host, Adrian Goodson, a.k.a. Goody, with a WNBA state of mind, and that's W.N.B.A. Women need basketball a lot. You understand what I'm saying? Where we mainly discuss basketball, but we love other sports. And so today we have, once again, we got some great topics, like absolutely fantastic topics. And we're going from assistant coaches to predictions in the NBA and the W. So boys, what's up? What it do? We going straight right into the first question. And it's not even a question, it's the topic. You know, it's hot right now. Talking about Sam Cassell and Rondo, okay, will be added additions to the Boston Celtics. You know, not only because I'm excited about it, and I got two reasons why I'm excited. Not only because they were two great guards who were great extensions to the coach, but also they were great floor generals. They were great floor generals, and they could shoot the lights out, or they could bust the defense down getting into the gaps. I love both of them. And to have them, especially former players on the other side of this, you know I'm a fan of it. What do you guys think about it?
Well, I love it. One other thing they both add is toughness, right? Boston just, you know, their point guard play, you know, it has been non-existent. No disrespect to Marcus Smart, but he's not a true point guard. He wasn't a true point guard in college, right? So I think the addition with Sam Cassell as well as Rondo, their IQ, their being, you know, players beforehand, and this, the toughness is going to add wonders for Boston. It's definitely going to take them over the hump.
I can't agree.
Absolutely.
What you got, Don? Talk to God. I know you're over here burning. I'm
going to come at this a little bit different. So, Joe, you know, first year coach, youngest coach in the NBA. We know Sam Cassell has aspirations to be a head coach. You know, he's been an assistant around the league for a while now, Clippers, 76ers. You know, he holds his own workouts in the summertime with different players, things of that such. He's been groomed for this for a while. Now, you got Rondo, on the other hand. There's been articles written. He said it himself. I want to be a coach. That's my next phase in life. So, you know, are they coming for his job?
See, you adding controversy to this.
You know the Don, I got to come with that kind of angle. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I love it.
Soup. You know, he got to be the pepper in the soup. You know, he got to be the cayenne pepper.
I got to give you the inside scoop.
I love it. But they got to.
Let me tell you this, and not to even cut you off. Please hold that thought there. I tell you what, there are so many good coaches out there. But you know they don't get hired because that dude or that chick who's in the head coach position are thinking that somebody's coming to take their job, and then you sabotage the whole organization because you're operating in fear. If that's the case, in my opinion, you shouldn't be there. Because if I want to be the best, I have to surround myself the best. I have to want all that smoke. And if you don't want all the smoke, then why are you there? Because that's all you're going to be smoking. Go ahead, Vid.
Now, I was just going to say, you got to start somewhere, right? So whether, you know, Rondo wants their head coaching job or whatnot, he got to start as assistants first, right? And so we know how it is. It's professional sports. Your job's never safe. It's all, as a player, as a coach, you always, you know, looking over your shoulder or whatnot. So if the coach is worried about that, I don't think he's going to be too successful in that career path anyway. That's just my take.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And you know, the best thing, what I love to see is because I was on Instagram the other day and I saw another coach put this post up. And it bothered me, but I didn't bother to say anything because I like to see who's around me and how they think. You know, where you go, oh, just because he was a former player doesn't mean that he's a good coach. Shut it down. Shut it down. Because if that person can get to the pro level playing, what happens when they put that same energy into coaching? There's levels to this. I'm not saying I want to go and jump into a head coaching job. I am more than willing to sit behind somebody who's adept and has the ability to teach me the game and not be intimidated by it. See, that's just some hater stuff, and I'm glad that situation is not going to be the case with Sam Cassell, because we all know that he can coach. And then I've seen Rondo in action in the NBA assistant coaches program. So I know he can coach. He can coach just like Derek Anderson needs to be on somebody's roster. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is these dudes can coach. So leading to the second question, all right? Let's talk about the Heat. And Vin, I need to get the atmosphere down there. Actually, it's funny. It popped in my head. They had a show in Lakeland. And I was like, wasn't Vin from down there? We could answer that later. But I was like, where's Lakeland? And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing, all you got to do is ask like something, and it will show you. That's why you got to be careful what you say and what you ask for. So talk about the Heat, the last game in the playoffs. I mean, come on, man. How would you rate this series from 1 to 10? I mean, Miami, to me, is too showtime. It's like, oh, look at this celebrity. Look at that celebrity. Look at this celebrity. It's just, to me, it's like the players are too disconnected. It's like, okay, we're happy we got to the championship, and now there's no more work that's involved. You only have a few players that still going hard, no?
I just think they out of their league right now. Denver's just too deep, too experienced, too tough, right? The atmosphere down here is, you know, it's a whole bunch of implants here, right? So it's no real fan, you know, fans. You know, if Miami's doing well, everyone works for them. But if y'all remember when LeBron's last year, in with the Heat, that last game with San Antonio in the championship, how the fans just walked out the stadium in the third quarter, you know? So that's the atmosphere down here, you know, far as with the fans. Is like, they're losing, so we're not really behind them. But if they were winning, everyone would be coming out. But far as the series, I rate it as a 4, honestly. You know, I don't think Miami has been, you know, they haven't really been fighting. You know, maybe the long season they did play-in games. You know, they did have tough series. They went 7 with Boston. That might play a factor in it. But again, like I said, I think Denver is just so much better than Miami, period.
Yeah, absolutely. They look outplayed. They look outworked. They look like they don't have any confidence. Basically, they look like they left their game in that 7-game series against Boston. And Boston, so much, would have been a better showing in this playoff.
I totally agree. They just outmatched. And, you know, Denver's got the winning formula. You got a point center and a hybrid guard in Jokic and Murray. You got two facilitators on the floor just about at all times. Miami doesn't have that. The X's and O's of the game, hey, that's interesting to watch with this series. So I'm going to rate it at a 7 on a basketball scale for those that have basketball eyes.
Yeah, there's a lot you can learn from it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that Miami can learn from it. You know, it's certainly a great opportunity for Denver and its market leading up to the football season. How big would is this going to be for Denver when they actually you know, declare themselves champions on tomorrow and get those rings. I just can't see anything happening for Miami right now. The best thing that they can do is to be looking for those players that are going to complete the team next year, looking for those players that they want to continue down the road in the future, how they can build, and you know what they should be looking for out there in Vegas when they go out there. Because not only are they going to be looking at their team, but they have the opportunity to pluck from other teams if they so choose. So that's the beauty of the developmental leagues, is the fact that not only can you pick from your team, but you have the cream of the crop. Leading up to the third topic that we want to talk about, you know, we got to get into the W. And, you know, my biggest question is, can anybody compete out West with the Aces? I mean, this year, will their stiffest competition be when they come to the East Coast and play against those four teams? Because who has a team to has the potential to even give them a problem? You know, right now we're looking at the stand-ins. You got on the East Coast, you got the Sun, they're 7-2. The Liberty is 5-2. The Mystics are 4-3. I don't know how this works, but the Sky are 5-4, and they have them at 4. The Dream, 2-4. Fever, 2-5. They are clearly out of the picture for this year. Rebuilding. They are definitely not a contender. I will say that Darius Taylor was a huge loss for the Dream as an assistant GM. As you can see, he's in Connecticut. They were on top, 7-2 of the East. You know, change is good, but not constant change. All right? It's just not good. The Dream, I really thought that they were on a path to greatness. And then all of a sudden, it's boom, boom, boom. This one's leaving. That one's leaving. And we can't forget about Wheezy, who's now in Indiana helping them. You know? You need that. You need Wheezy. Because right now, your point guard is out. So you just never know what's going to happen. Change is good, but it's not always good. Aces out West sitting on top, 7-1. Wings, 5-3. Sparks, 4-3. Then after that, it stops. The real battle in the West is going to be the Wings versus the Sparks to see who's going to play the Aces in the championship game, where whoever makes it is getting annihilated. The Storm is 1-5. They added it. Forget about it. The Lynx, the worst I've ever seen them in my life. 1-7, bottom of the barrel. I've never seen them play that bad. I mean, not like, I can't, I'm stuttering. Okay, even getting into this, okay, we can't even go to the airport. I promise you, the stalkers are out there. I had one in New York. Every time we came to New York, from Utah to New York, I had to have extra security because a dude from jail was writing me, telling me, or asking me how the kids were doing because we were married.
Jesus.
Then I had a dude that was stalking me, writing a letters to me. He was sitting in the crowd. But they wouldn't tell me who he was because my family probably would have jacked him. You feel what I'm saying? So it's real out there. So Brittany Griner goes to the airport. You hate America. What's going on? People better stop, I'm telling you, because we have armed security. You're going to mess around and get yourself shot out there, messing around or screaming obscenities in an airport, of all places, to Brittany Griner, of all players you choose to pick on. Talk to me, boys.
Well, Goody, I definitely say this to back up a little bit. Vegas' only competition is the Liberty. That we all know. It was already written in stone when the rosters were constructed in the offseason. Barring injury. And if that does become a concern, I'm going to turn things over to the Atlanta Dream as the upset team. You say that they've made a lot of changes, and they have, but I think this year they've got a great mix of rookies and vets along with a cast of hoopers. They got hoopers. They ain't got basketball players. They got hoopers. There's a difference there. There's a huge difference.
So they are right there. Are you talking Fab Five to me? Is that what you're saying to me, Don Dada?
They got hoopers. Hoopers.
Fab Five.
Hoopers. They got hoopers. Hoopers. They got five of them.
Them hoopers ain't going to do. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, them hoopers ain't got nothing on them Liberty or that Suns team. That's just, you know, they just too experienced and athletic and skilled. And, you know, like with the Liberty, they got youth on their side, athleticism. They got some players, man. The Sun is their experience, you know, so okay, the Aces.
Absolutely. Barring injury, if the Liberty are healthy, yeah, the Dream can't compete with that. But if they're one or two injuries that mix in there, that changes the chemistry. The Liberty are still trying to find their chemistry right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I definitely agree with that. That's one of my takes. However, the Dream has to think about the Liberty getting injured and the Sun getting injured and the Mystics getting injured. You know, I just don't see them fighting, you know, fighting for that crown in the East. That's just me.
Hey, they said the same thing about the Heat at the beginning of the year. Where are we now? They in the finals.
It's a short season, though. WNBA season is very short, and we're already in June.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. So you remember? Go ahead.
Are we just jumping over the Mystics, fellas? Like, we haven't even had them in the conversation at all. Like to even make any moves to even like have like anybody to even be intimidated by this team anymore, you know, and so that really does say a lot. And I think that the Sky right now, you know, they're picking up momentum, so you know they may very well be that team that ends up, you know, in the conference finals, you know, if the Dream doesn't pull off a Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. I will say this about the Mystics goodie, Shakira Austin, most improved player of the year. Give her award now.
Listen, that you already know. So you hopping on the bandwagon because she's one
I ain't hopping on the bandwagon. I've been there since Maryland.
One of my favorite kids, you know, so you may as well come on. I'll pull you on the cart. Let's go. Feel what I'm saying to you? Because I have certain players, and you know, that are my favorites that I just love to watch. And I think that, you know, like I said, she's one of those players that I think should have her own team, but there's not enough teams. Like, she's good enough to go somewhere where somebody can build around this kid. You know, same thing goes for Marine Johannes over there with the Liberty. You see how Yana Sekou played her behind off. She had 8 threes and 37 points. This is how nervous Johannes is making players in New York. She's so good that now this is the bar that you have to meet in order to keep me on the bench. So, Giannis, hitting threes from everywhere. Pat, 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 pat. Turn into Rondo on the court because she knows how healthy is having great players on the bench. Okay, because Johannes can go to another team and start today. New York knows that. Her teammates know that. Now, does she buy into the program? Is she going to be comfortable with being sixth man? She a baller. So when you said New York is still trying to figure out their lineup, let somebody slip. Let somebody slip and see if Johannes ain't coming in the back. She dropping dimes. She's a team player. She hitting threes like crazy. She watch her bounce. Watch her footwork. Okay? If you take a split the camera, put her feet and Steph's feet together, I promise you, side by side, the footwork is exactly the same. So I love this kid. She's another one in the bag for me. I promise you, if I had a fantasy team and I got the opportunity to come in and coach that fantasy team, we in there. We in the championship game. There's so many players that are sitting on the bench that are not being utilized because there's not enough teams. On any given day, they would be a starter on another team, but they're sitting on the bench. So there's some teams that got good, healthy problems, and then there's some teams that just got problems, period. So like I said, the Lynx, the worst I've ever seen, okay? And I know that they're going to come back. You know, I'm so spoiled. I'm always used to them winning and seeing them play and having that good team. I think we're all used to seeing the Lynx playing well. So now they're in their rebuilding stage. So I give them a whole lot of love on that. Leading up to the next thing. Okay. We all have our favorite players. Okay. We all have players that we would have liked to have mimicked, you know, at some point in time. And I'm just throwing this out here. Keep you on the hot seat. When you were out there playing, Vid, in the park, okay? And this is going to be a good topic, because in my city, we don't have this problem. Our parks are full. You go to the basketball court, they out there. That's why we make it into the leagues. You go baseball, Cal Ripken Field is right down the block, and he literally donated this field, okay? Then we got Little League, baseball, just won the state championship. Basketball, just won the state championship. Our kids are out there on the field. You go down the park, they ain't nothing but cars, parents lined up watching their kids play soccer or flag football. It's the parents. We're not going to sit here and say, oh, these kids ain't in the park. But if we got kicked into the park. Our parents did not let us coming out. Get your butt outside. And didn't have the nerve to tell us that we smell earthy when we come home. Well, what am I supposed to smell like? That was my mother's favorite line. Oh my God, you smell earthy. Well, what am I supposed to do? You just kicked me outside to go play. Hey, over here. Gotta love Sugar, I tell you. But seriously, when you were out on the court, dude, who were you? Who was that dude?
When I first, it was Magic. That was my guy, Magic. But then, you know, who I came under after that was AI, Bubba Chuck. You know, so it was those two. It was Magic and AI.
What was it about them that inspired you?
Magic kicks your butt with a smile. He made his teams better passing. You know, that's how I got into basketball at whatever age I was, like 2-3 years old, watching him, this man, you know, dishing, smiling, you know what I mean? Just because I know Bubba Chuck, I mean, at 8 years old, he was like Michael Jordan to us. You know what I mean? He was a legend already at 8 years old, but it came from football, right? And then what he did in, you know, with basketball, he's small. I'm small, you know. It was someone I could touch, right? I could touch him. I couldn't touch Magic. That was make-believe to us. I could touch Chuck. He was amazing. He is amazing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people don't know your story there, because you was a baller at a Hampton. And you know, if there was one thing that I had a wish for you, is that Old Dominion had picked you up. There were so many players over at Old Dominion playing noon ball, that were getting after it. And at that time, you know, the coaching staff really didn't believe in walk-ons. What a pity. And so, you know, you were right across the water, and, you know, you were actually friends with AI. and you hung out with him and you have stories, which is fantastic. And so to be motivated by somebody like that and to have known him myself and have done things with him in the community, especially when he come back and do the softball games, I miss those days. Joe Smith, we're going to get back to those days as a matter of fact, because Hampton Roads is hot. And there's some great players that came out of that area. So, Dom, who were you? And, you know, I found the kick you're behind with a smile, that was exactly what Magic Johnson did.
Mm-hmm. Hey, mine is real simple and easy. It was Isaiah Thomas for me, captain of the Bad Boys. You know, that's who I grew up watching, emulating. As soon as the game was over, I had a park up the street. Well, you know, within Detroit, we got parks everywhere. You know, we famous for our parks. You know, if it wasn't for the Rucker, they would be screaming St. Cecilia. A lot of hoopers came from that little bitty small church where if you go wrong to your left or your right, you can hit a wall. There were no stands. That's how small it is. They call it the hot box. You know, I grew up watching Derek Coleman, Steve Smith, Vashawn Leonard, you know, Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, you know, those guys hooping in the summertime would go out and emulate what they did. You know, they were all huge inspirations, not only then, even today in the business world.
Rashad was a problem. Rashad Leonard was a bad boy. Wow. Imagine him on somebody's coaching staff, you know, teaching the game to people. And, you know, the beauty of the NBA is that, you know, they have so many coaches on the bench and so many opportunities available. It's amazing. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you and I say all the time, and we kind of joke about, you know, needing more basketball people in basketball. And I think within the last 5 to 6 years, you know, a lot of front offices are starting to see that, you know, as you have players like, you know, Chauncey heading things up in, you know, Portland, being a head coach. You know, you have Anisha Curry, you know, being over there as an assistant for a while. You know, now she's doing some things with the Chile national team. You know, you've got coaches spread all out. You know, you had Bill Laimbeer, who was one of the baddest bad boys, you know, coaching in the W for years and being successful. You know, had they not been able to pioneer where they were in the league and been able to get that chance and show what they can do, you know, who knows? But, you know, it's fantastic to see that now, you know, you have former players immediately jumping into the NBA assistant coaches program as soon as they retire, you know, trying to get their spot. And the league is going that way, and it's going to continue to go that way because the owners are starting to see the results.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting times. I think it's absolutely exciting times. You know, and we're getting ready to leave here. Like anybody that's just coming on to the show, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Me, myself, Vid, and Dominique Wilfred Dondada over here, you know, coming back again this week. You know, give you a fantastic show. I can say if there's three players that should be watched definitely this year, as young players, you have Chinese player out there, actually. Seattle's losing bad, but they have an exciting rookie. And her name is Li Meng. Check her out, okay? Also, of course, Shaquille Austin, the Mystics. And last but not least, Marine Johannes. I've been watching her for the last 4 or 5 years. This kid is fantastic, okay? And eventually, when they get to a point where they expand, those three players will be players that a team may possibly build around. And I know that's that giving Li Meng a lot, but I tell you what, there's plenty of markets that love her. And that's the reason why she's in Seattle, And if she wasn't in Seattle, she'd be in New York because of the Asian markets. Marketable kid. Just like you were talking about last week, Ben, marketing is everything. And if corporations think that they can capitalize on someone's likeness over another's, they have the opportunity to choose whatever it is that they want, especially if they're investing $15 million into a program. So, with that being said, take us out of here with something positive for the kids.
Something positive for the kids. You know, just what you touched on earlier, you know, about the parents pushing their kids out. I'm going to tell all hoopers out there, all basketball players, all inspiring wannabe basketball players, just go shoot. Find a rim in your neighborhood. Just go shoot. Dribble by yourself. You don't need a trainer. You don't need a $1,000 an hour trainer to be a basketball player. Just go play. That's all I asked you to do. Go play. Use your own imagination. It will take you far. Nothing against those $1,000 an hour trainer. Nothing at all. I don't want them coming for me on Twitter. But hey, just go play.
Great advice. All right, Vid, give us a little something real quick.
Help one person a day. Build on your legacy. Just helping one person a day goes a long way. So that's just a life lesson I've learned. It could be a smile. It could be some kind of advice. It could be anything. Just one person a day. Make that your goal.
And you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. We leaving out here on that one. Adrian Goodson, a.k.a. Goody. You know I love you. Sammy Sosa, we out. That was good, boys. Forty seconds left. Say whatever you want to say off the cuff, because I'm cutting it out any guy.
Listen, I don't like how y'all doing my girl Sabrina. Y'all forget, she got that Mamba mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
Mamba mentality.
I don't know why Goody was coming at her so hard.
Like, I'm coming at you because she was not playing like that until Johannes came along and said, hey, I'm here.
I think that's part of us.
Fire on that there too. Now it's different.
Yeah, I think that's part of Stewie being there too, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we got to fight fires out here.
Yeah, you're right.
Get ready to cut out. But I'm going to make sure that this portion, we'll do a little bleep, a little blooper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to.
All right. Oh, I love y'all. So I'll catch you next week. I'm heading back down to VA. So I'll be coming from that way because my camp starts on Tuesday. If we run into any glitch and I'm like, we're going to have to push it to the fire, I'll let y'all know. But as of right now, it's a go. All right. I love y'all. Be safe.
Love you. Love y'all.
Thanks. Talk soon. Boys? Peace out.